Welcome to The Backbone, a journey inside finance at a startup. I'm your host, Shubham Datta, at Shubham on Twitter. On The Backbone, we're obsessed with finance and operations at startups. We take a close look at finance functions within various startup companies by talking to finance leaders that are in there day in and day out. We chat startup finance, metrics, operations, and everything in between. Joining me on this episode of The Backbone is Emma Linden, Chief Financial Officer at Canopy Labs. Canopy Labs is a predictive analytics software company, helping B2C marketers personalize each touchpoint in their customer journeys. At Canopy, Emma is responsible for finance, legal, and HR, and works closely with the rest of the leadership team to grow the business. Emma has significant finance and operational experience in both startups and larger organizations like eBay. Prior to joining Canopy, Emma was the CFO of a digital marketing agency, which she helped more than double in size and then successfully sell to private equity in 2015. Emma is a CPA-CA, having started her career at PwC. She earned her Bachelor of Commerce from Queen's University. And so without further ado, let's hear from Emma herself, Chief Financial Officer at Canopy Labs. Hey, good morning, Emma. Thanks for coming on The Backbone this morning. And I'll get started right away. So you got your start in your career at PwC, and then you had a variety of roles within tech, from your time at eBay to Caboose, Ariad, and now Canopy Labs. So talk to me about your path to Canopy Labs and your career progression to your current CFO role at Canopy.
Great. Thank you so much for having me. Really looking forward to our conversation. I started my career, as you mentioned, at PwC, and it really was a great place to start my career. Kind of in addition to giving me a good grounding in terms of finance and accounting skills, what I really loved about PwC is it gave me the opportunity in a fairly short period of time to work on a number of different clients and different industries, but also to really see how different finance teams worked within organizations. And I really gravitated to the teams that worked in close partnership with the business. And that was sort of something early on that I thought that I'd want to pursue in my career. I had the chance to join eBay in 2005 as part of the Canadian team, and it really was a magical time. It was a small team in Canada, sort of within the confines of a big organization. Really was the first time it allowed me to work closely with experts in different disciplines, so great marketers, product experts, strategists, and kind of one of my favorite times at eBay was I got a chance to work on the eBay Canada French launch. And that really gave me the opportunity not only to work cross-functionally, but also to work across different geographies because we were working with engineers in San Jose and customer support, which at the time was based out of Vancouver, as well as kind of all sorts of leadership. And it really gave me a good sense of how an organization works and kind of what the critical metrics mm-hmm. are to launching certain things. So that was really a great opportunity. And it also gave me a good kind of being part of the Canadian business, started to give me a good understanding of how macro kind of economic things, currency, cross-border trade, those sort of things kind of can influence a Canadian business in particular. And so it was a really great learning and I learned a ton there. I joined Caboose after eBay, which was my first experience in a true startup. And it sort of working in planning and analysis and working really closely for the first time with the sales team. And so great learnings there in terms of how to think about pricing, how to think about different types of pricing, and also gave me the first kind of flavor of M&A from the company side because Caboose at the time, or shortly thereafter, had a successful exit selling to Disney in 2009, 2010. And then kind of my career, I sort of decided to marry kind of my technology experience and my professional services experience and join Ariad, which was a marketing agency that was just at the cusp of transitioning from an offline agency to an online agency.
Very cool.
Yeah, it was really great. It was sort of the kind of strategic question was how do we keep this handful of really lovely clients? So all the big banks, Unilever, J&J, how do we keep them as we transition from an offline service offering to an online one, sort of CRM and digital? And at the same time, there was a lot to do from a company perspective in terms of making sure we had the right team and skills in place and organizational design and pricing. And so really that's where I spent it was a ton of work, but it was a ton of fun. And it was a great opportunity to sort of dive deep in terms of thinking about kind of organizational design, thinking about service offering and pricing, making sure we had the right teams in the right place at the right time, and sort of making sure we had the right systems and that we were looking at the right metrics as we kind of went through that transition and also really high growth. So the business started to take off, which was great. And then ultimately I worked closely with the CEO in 2015 to sell that business to private equity so that the shareholder could exit well. And right. And then that was kind of a neat experience in and of itself, both kind of that sale process and then also post-sale. I spent a lot of time working with the private equity firm owned a few different agencies. And so part of my role was visiting those agencies and making sure kind of we were using the right metrics and had the right systems in place to be able to kind of execute against the different strategies. And so all of that led me to kind of, I guess that was about a seven year stint there. I had a yearning to go back into technology a little bit more fulsomely. And so I actually, through mutual acquaintances, got introduced to Wojciech and Jorge, which are Canopy Labs co-founders. And we had some great conversations kind of over several months. And I was really impressed by what they and their team had built and was excited to have the opportunity to join. And so with my background kind of from an agency perspective and working with a lot of marketers, I could see how Canopy's product really solved a lot of problems. And then equally excited I was to join kind of a great team that was starting to experience really significant growth.
So a lot of great experiences that I want to kind of get to and unpack as we go through the show. But before doing all that, tell me a bit more about Canopy Labs itself, what it's all about.
Sure, I'd love to. So Canopy Labs is a customer journey analytics company. And so we're SaaS-based, and we help B2C marketers really bring a personalized touch point to every aspect of their customer relationships. And so we work across a number of different industries, so omnichannel, retail, ticketing, travel, just to name a few, but really we work well whenever there's someone has to make a considered purchase. Kind of when I think about sort of how we help, kind of at our core, what we do is we integrate all this customer data from really any source that a company can think of. So online activity, like web browsing activity or CRM data, but also offline data. So things like POS information. And really what the platform does is it then builds and maps out 360-degree customer profiles for each customer and visitor and anonymous user. It really helps then marketers understand the journeys that their customers are taking, often for the first time, and then helps them kind of personalize those experiences to really drive activation and conversion. The exciting thing is once you get all that data in one place, and I think really importantly, both the online and the offline data, because customers are obviously using both quite often. But really then kind of our analytics engine automatically tracks events and predicts what events are likely to happen next. As a result, you can use it to kind of personalize and trigger communications and outreach. You can think about what offers to provide at the right time for specific individuals. And then you can also use it for things like kind of preemptive customer service. So kind of starting to track when you think somebody might not have had an optimal experience, and then kind of what kind of intervention do you want to run to help improve that.
That's really cool. So I want to dig into that a bit more and talk about, so you mentioned that, you know, Canopy generates descriptive and predictive information, right, to tell companies what their customers have done in the past and then anticipate what they will do in the future. So these types of predictive capabilities can be very powerful. As you think about how that relates to the finance function, how do you see that changing over time so that the finance function can take advantage of analytics and predictive models to improve the budgeting process for organizations? Because as you mentioned, there's a ton of data that can be leveraged. So how does that help the finance function?
Yeah, great question. And I think it's got enormous potential. And I think we're just kind of at the beginnings of thinking about how we can meaningfully use it. I think being able to incorporate a company's data, including its operational data, I think would is kind of really will be an important next step in terms of how predictive modeling and the budgeting and forecasting processes work. I think though what it really will change, and I'm excited about this change, but I think it really increases the importance of critical thinking skills for finance teams, and also the ability to develop really close working relationships with the rest of the business to really understand what those drivers are, to understand what to do with the information, to be able to really kind of affect change. Because I think a lot of using predictive analytics within forecasting and budgeting ultimately will help save a lot of the time that's currently spent kind of manipulating models. But it's really, for me, what do you do with that information once you have it, and once you how does it affect change within an organization to take advantage of opportunities or kind of to manage risks? And so I think as we become more sophisticated in that space, I think it's really going to augment the importance for finance teams to have those other skills. So the critical thinking and the communication skills with the rest of the organization, and being able to translate kind of financial information for non-financial audiences.
Right, right. Especially now, you know, there's so much data and so many data points that you can use. It's very important to figure out the signal from the noise. And I totally agree with you there in terms of being able to pull out the key insights from the data is important, and critical thinking skills will be really come to bear on that front.
Couldn't agree more.
Moving along to another aspect of Canopy Labs, Canopy helps a lot with, helps its customers with attribution. So it allows companies to understand and attribute ROI on all marketing activities. And so in a world where there are so many digital marketing channels out there, like we see today and continuously growing, why is attribution so important?
I think it's so important because we've got this kind of ever-expanding range of options. And we obviously have limited resources, both kind of financially and in terms of focus. And so really being able to understand what's driving, particularly in the marketing space, on customer acquisition and retention is really critical. And so it's important across all marketing channels. Digital is usually the first that the focus is on, but really being able to think about it across all marketing channels. And as a finance team, ultimately, kind of understanding the trade-offs and ROI, obviously, across all the different investment decisions that you've got to think about and make. And so that's why I love about what Canopy does is it gives marketers that opportunity to understand attribution kind of across all the different touch points that they've got. So for most of our customers, that this is really the first time that they're starting to see how attribution is working kind of in the interplay between offline and online marketing.
Is there an opportunity then for the finance leader within an organization to play a deeper role in helping the marketing function understand ROI on marketing spend, make that marketing spend even more effective over time? With attribution.
Yeah, absolutely. I think this is an important place for finance to really work in partnership with their marketing teams in terms of kind of driving dialogue about ROI and sort of what does it mean, and kind of out of that, what options are there to improve that ROI, and also making sure that there's the tracking set up in place and that the systems that the team needs to be able to look at that holistically are supported, both kind of when you think about the budgeting trade-off time. And then also though, keeping kind of some ongoing dialogue with the marketers in terms of what they're seeing and what actions they're taking kind of based on that. So I think it's really, really an important relationship between finance and marketing to understand that ROI and to make sure that it's being used to and optimized over time.
Makes a lot of sense. And then tying that back to our previous discussion on, you know, taking advantage of data and predictive systems to anticipate what customers will be doing, if you're able to attribute marketing spend accurately and effectively, you know, if a customer is taking advantage of a particular marketing channel versus another, may have bought something from you, and now, you know, a couple months later, you want to advertise to them again, you can figure out which marketing channels are most effective with that segment of customer and use marketing spend there versus other channels. So I think there is some interplay between those two aspects.
Yeah, I definitely think you're right. And being able to, that's taking it to the next level in terms of being able to really see the impact of being able to personalize kind of how you interact with specific customers or specific segments based on kind of behaviorally what they've been doing. And then we definitely see, or a lot of our customers, that's where they see the lift from an ROI perspective in terms of using Canopy, because they're able to do that. And then it's that much more meaningful in terms of relationship, and that pays off in terms of kind of customer lifetime value and those sorts of things, all of which the attribution helps inform.
Now I want to shift gears a bit and talk about some of your prior roles as you kind of progressed to your CFO role at Canopy. So at Ariad, you served as the Chief Business Intelligence Officer. Talk to me a bit about that role and why the finance leader role within a technology company is much more than just making sure the books are in good order.
Yeah, sure. Happy to. So my role is Chief Business Intelligence Officer at Ariad. Really happened after the acquisition of the Canadian company. And so my role was across kind of several agencies, a couple in the US and then the Canadian agency. And really, kind of born out of my love of metrics and being able to use those metrics to make good decisions. My role was really to make sure that we had the right systems in place, that the local leadership teams were getting the information they needed, but also that they had a kind of a strategic sparring partner to think about what the implications of those metrics were and how we might make better decisions as an organization, both kind of across the network, but for each individual agency as well. And I think that plays really well into your question about what finance within technology companies. I think it's within any company, but technology companies in particular and startups, finance really has the opportunity and I think the responsibility to go far beyond kind of making sure just that the numbers are right. And I think forecasting is a critical function, thinking about cash and making sure there's a good handle on that. But also kind of working closely with different members of the team. So kind of working with sales and reviewing new deals and thinking about commercial terms and the legal and making sure that from a compliance perspective we can continue to win new business with larger organizations, but also being able to kind of think about resource and scenario planning, making sure kind of from an HR perspective that there's good onboarding in place and good training and kind of thinking about the business holistically, being that good sounding board and kind of sparring partner with different parts of the organization, I think is a really healthy role that finance can play.
For sure. And you touched on this earlier, but having the ability to work across many cross-functional teams is really a unique opportunity that anyone in the finance leader role within the finance function of a company has. Being able to work across sales, marketing, product, customer support, like you said, I think it's a really, really interesting position to be in as the finance leader.
I mean, I think that's part of my most fun. Like if I was thinking back to my university self and why kind of finance was an appealing place to be, I think someone told me early what's so sort of great about finance is it gives you permission to ask a lot about the business to almost anyone. And so if you're curious and you've got a passion kind of for seeing growth and seeing kind of how the business is morphing and changing, finance is actually probably one of the best places to be in. So it's something that I've loved kind of throughout my career.
Yeah, that's awesome. Couldn't agree with you more. So what I'd like to do now is jump into our quickfire round. And so the way this works is I'll ask you a couple of questions and you'll have 10 to 15 seconds to respond to each. How does that sound?
Sounds great.
All right. So starting with number one, what is your go-to online resource for all things startup finance related?
So I don't think I can pick one, but I can pick two. So I'd say Lemkin at Saster and then David Skok from Matrix Partners for his blog.
For entrepreneurs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those are both great resources. So what's your favorite productivity hack?
Turning off notifications.
That's key. So do you turn them off or do you just put your phone like face down? Because I've seen both.
Yeah, I do. I do both. Okay. Just to keep me at bay, but really for me, turning off the notifications because I'm almost always piques my interest. So to stay focused, I turn them off.
Very good, very good. And what's one thing you don't leave the office before finishing?
I would say checking in with the team and just making sure things are well in hand. Mm-hmm. So making sure that any that I'm aware of anything that might be a problem tomorrow as I go out the door.
That makes sense. What's one tech jargon that makes you cringe?
Ninja. No, I think I'm too practical for kind of some of the kind of descriptive terms that get used for kind of the roles that people are doing. So I'll stick with that.
That's a good one. And what's the best advice you've ever received?
I think really to look to join teams that are going to push you. So teams that you can add something to, but also learn from. And I feel like that's sort of what I've looked for in kind of every stage of my career. And it's paid off well.
That's great. That's great advice for sure. Well, thanks again, Emma, for coming on the show, talking to me about your previous experiences and how that's helped you in your role now at Canopy, talking about what Canopy does, all of its capabilities, and especially as it relates to descriptive and predictive information to help its customers, and as well as talking about attribution and the importance of that, especially thinking about it from a finance leader's perspective. It was really an exciting conversation, and thanks again for coming on the show to doing this.
Thanks very much for having me.
Talk to you later. Bye now.